3, 2, 1.
Welcome to It's Fabulous!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
Exfabula Radio Time, part of Lake Effect Weekend, every weekend at this time. I'm Bruce Winter with Exfabula co-founder Leah Delaney with stories for you, as we have every weekend. And here we are in Milwaukee, the city of festivals, in the highest month of high festival season around here.
Yeah, we really are in the apex of the festival season.
I can't be everywhere.
No, I know. Although I'm sure a lot of people expect you to be everywhere, but
well, I try and make as many as I can, but sometimes it's just overwhelming. The calendar is full.
I mean, we have the end of Summerfest, 50th anniversary. We have Vive la France. We have Bastille Day coming up next weekend, and then we also have Blow Up the Beach, which is a fun family tradition held in Bayview for the Bayview South Shore Frolics.
Yes, South Shore Frolics.
So everything's going to blow up. Milwaukee's going to blow up with beer and fun and fireworks that weekend.
Indeed. Let's celebrate.
Let's celebrate Vive la France style with our first story today. Here's Paula Mason.
So the story has to do with one very excited high school girl who was the president of her French club and really geeked out about French. I watched Amelie too many times. We went on field trips to French restaurants in Milwaukee. And we also, my family had lots of exchange students stay with us through a teacher at my school. So I felt like I was ready for that same experience. And the summer between my junior and senior year of high school, I had saved up enough money to do my own study abroad for a month. And I went through all the processes to get ready for that. I found out the name of my family, how many kids they had, etc. And I just get ready. And I boarded my plane, and four flights later, horrible, I arrive at my destination with my giant bag of luggage completely lost. So that alone would have been a little bit of, you know, a hassle, but that's okay. I had my backpack and my optimism, and I was alone, by the way, because the group that I went with, we all were placed in different parts of France. So we had arrived in Paris together, but I arrived in the city where I was staying by myself. And I just knew that they would be waiting for me at the airport. And it kind of boggles my brain, but when I got off the plane, it had those little stairs that lead out onto the tarmac, and there were people already waiting on the tarmac. It kind of had like an open air feel to it. And because I had lost my luggage, I didn't need to really go inside the airport, and I had already been through customs in Paris. And I see a man on the tarmac who has a picture of me, and he has packets of stuff that I had sent months earlier, and we'll call him Monsieur L. So I approach him. I see he's looking at me. I'm looking at him. I don't see any family in sight, and at that point, you know, we talk, and my French was painfully, I mean, awkward, stumbling, not very good, and we confirm that we are, you know, he's the father of the host family I'm staying with. So I go with him, and I'm asking a little bit. I thought it was a little strange that the kids weren't there. There was supposed to be a girl my age. And we get on a bus, and he takes me to an apartment building. And I'm like, what's this about? You know, like, okay, maybe the family lives in an apartment. And it's in the downtown area of a university town. So there's all sorts of young people around. It feels really cool, but it wasn't what I was envisioning. And he leads me up to to the apartment. And it turns out that it's this tiny little efficiency, just cramped, a sink next to a bed, and there's no family in sight. And so this is the kind of creepy part, but but I start stumbling and saying, where's the girl who's my age, etc. And I just had this sinking feeling. You know, I didn't feel like my physical safety was threatened. I didn't feel that in my gut, but I did feel like something was really wrong. And I was away from home for the first time. And I just asked him, I said, do you have a phone? I need to make a phone call. This isn't right. And he didn't have a phone, but he willingly took me to a payphone. I had to buy a calling card. And this was 2003, so a couple years before I had my first cell phone. And I'm just, my mind is racing. And he didn't, honestly, he didn't seem like a scary individual, but I got the sense that he wasn't all there. And to clarify, he wasn't going to stay with me at that apartment. He said he was going to camp for a month, and then I would stay there alone, and then we would sightsee during the day. Oh. And it's like, this is just ridiculously off. So I am calling the numbers that I had written down, and I know that the coordinator is in a different city, but I knew that there was supposed to be an on-site coordinator in the city that I was staying in, and I left a voicemail. I even called home. I called from France to home, and my parents actually were out, so I spoke to the babysitter of my little sister, and I was just horrified, and I couldn't really get through to anybody. So we hung up the phone and I just started crying. And it was a busy like plaza, a busy, you know, city center. People started coming up to me and asking what was wrong. And I don't think I made sense in French or English. And I just knew that I had to get out of this, but I didn't know where to go. And interestingly enough, he complied this whole time. You know, I don't think he was a bad person. I don't think he had bad intentions. I think he was just off. And anyway, thankfully, the payphone started to ring, and we pick it up. And on the other line is the coordinator. She was an English teacher at the school in France where my host sister went. And she said, "Paula, where are you? The police are notified. We were waiting for you at the airport. What happened? You never got off the plane." And I said, "I did. I'm with Monsieur L." And I find out that he was estranged from his family. And the reason why he had received that information was because there was a strike, a postal strike, and the mail that I sent got diverted to him. And he got it in his mind that, oh my goodness, I'm going to have an exchange student. And yeah, I mean, but I know that the natural thought is like, oh, it like creepy sexual overtones. In retrospect, I don't think I felt that in my gut, but there was just something really off. And he did want me to stay at his place while he camped. And I just, anyway, so the coordinator is telling me, don't go back in the apartment. We're going to come pick you up. And I ended up staying with the host family, and it did take me a little bit of time to trust them. And I think they were mortified because this was never supposed to happen. I mean, I don't think I was ever supposed to find out about the estranged father, but I would say I'd loosely file this under loss of innocence for the girl, for the girl who was, you know, in love with the movie Amelie and just president of her French club. This was not quite what I was in for, but it ended up being okay. I think I made the best out of it. So, all right.
And that was Ha Ha Ha, Paula Mason with her Vive la France story.
I cannot do any kind of French accent. I come off sounding like, you know, Pepe Le Pew or something. I just can't do it.
I end up sounding German somehow. I don't know. I'm terrible.
It just doesn't work.
But we really, really want to encourage everyone to sign up for that Exfabula membership. That membership provides so many different benefits. You get swag. You get into secret Fabula events. You get into story slams, advanced show announcements. Being an Exfabula member gives you the satisfaction and the self-fulfilling notion that you are a part of Milwaukee. So we really want to encourage everyone to go to exfabula.org to sign up for a membership, find out more details, all that good stuff. So let's get back to the stories. We are still under the theme of festing in Milwaukee. So let's actually do a story from an Only in Milwaukee story slam that we had. This one is from Catherine Miller. Let's hear her story.
My name is Catherine, and I'm an addict. I just love art, and my home is an art gallery, and I've bought over the years anything I can afford to buy: insider art, outsider art, paintings, drawings, sculptures, realism, unrealism. But when I bought a house on Rhode Island Avenue, it was a 1960s house, bought it last summer, and it had this wide open space for art. And I got a Jones for a big ass original abstract piece. But, you know, they cost a lot of money, and the artists deserve it. They're really, really, they take a lot to put an abstract together, the materials and creativity and all that. And I was just a little bit short on the funding by a couple thousand dollars. So, I enjoy the chaotic journey. You know, I like the impossible dream. And so I just go to bed thinking about, ooh, blues or orange, you know, whatever. And so one day I'm tootling down KK, and then, no. Whoa, seriously? Ah! Across the street, at the curb, there's a big ass original abstract sitting on the curb. Well, it had a little sign on it, and I knew that there's no way I can afford even a yard sale big ass abstract. But, you know, okay, magnetic attraction, okay, I'm pulling a Yui. I get up there. Oh, no. Really? Seriously? The price is right. I can afford it. It's free! No, praise Jesus, it's free! And it's big by bigger. And it has this fabulous splashes of earth tones and particles of wood and all kinds of materials, metal and glass embedded in the oils. It's wild, marvelous, and it's mine. I have claimed it. So here's the thing. Now I have to get it home. Okay, so how does that work? The painting is this and this, and I have a Toyota Prius. So this has to happen. I know I need help, but I have no one to call. So I see this kid coming toward me. I said, hey, kid. And he looks at me and he pulls out an earbud and says, hey, kid, look, can you come over here and help me get this painting into my car? And he looks at me like, lady, that painting into that car? You're cracked. The kid comes over and we're maneuvering the painting here, there, and everywhere, and of course it doesn't fit. But I have to have it, you see. So I think, okay, I got it. I give him $5 and tell him to walk it home for me. Well, then comes this one-armed guy, grabs my kid. I'd paid him the $5, and there goes the one-armed guy with the kid because he's seen a shelving unit that he wants, and that's free. So I, oh, come on, really? Well, anyway, so I see the one-armed guy has a van. Go over, introduce myself. Joe, I shake his, arm, not hand. And I said, Joe, can you take my painting home? You know, the kid will put it in the car. And he says, so, you pay the kid? Yeah, I paid the kid. I said, okay, sure. 5 minutes later, I had the impossible dream lodged safely in my garage. Kid goes off, he's paid, doesn't need a ride home. I lean in the car to say thank you to Joe and his wife. And they say to me, well, we just live a couple blocks away. We're really neighbors, you know, we're out in New York. And I said, wow, you made my dream come true. And she said, well, that's what neighbors are for. And when I look at that painting now, it's beautiful. It's not really an abstract anymore because I see the artist who created it, splashing paint, finding objects in the neighborhood. I see the kid toting it down the street, putting it in the van. I see Joe and his wife delivering it unto me, and I've created a new genre of art, Milwaukee realism. Thank you very much for your valuable time.
And that was Catherine Miller's Only in Milwaukee story.
You never know where you're going to find objects d'art in Milwaukee. And if it's on a street corner in Bayview or wherever, you just never know. Only in Milwaukee.
That's so true. It's so true. I slowly pass curbs all the time looking for stuff that I can put up on my walls.
Yeah. And people will just put it out there and say, put a little sign on it that says free.
Mm-hmm.
And so remind us again about memberships and where we can go to sign up for that and any other upcoming things.
Will do. Exfabula membership. Be a part of Milwaukee. Be a part of Exfabula. Sign up at exfabula.org. You get all of the benefits listed there.
And you want to hear these stories again or share them with someone, they are up at WUWM.com. So we are here every weekend, Saturday and Sunday at this time. So join us on the air or online. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.